Welcome to St. Kieran. So lovely to have you today, and I have the pleasure and joy of sharing God's word with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each person listening to this message today. Won't you bless them? And Father, we also want to remember Reverend Mike and Louisa's own holiday, that God will you bless them, refresh them, and just be with them in a very special way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I can't believe it's already the third Sunday of 2024. And many people have made resolutions, New Year's ones, and have broken them as well. The best one I think I've ever heard was where the little girl comes to her dad and says, "Dad, what is your New Year's resolution?" And he turns around to his daughter and says, "It's to make Mom the happiest woman the whole year round." And she turns to Mom and said, "Mom, what is your New Year resolution?" She simply said, "To make sure that Dad keeps that resolution." Have you ever heard the expression, "It is written all over your face," or "So happy to see your face. It gives me great joy to see you so happy." Somebody else once said about somebody, or he or she looks so peaceful. Another person said, "I can see that you're in your face, that you express so much love." Somebody said goodbye to somebody and said, "Don't look be so disappointed. I hope to see you again." Isn't it true, folk, that many times our faces show and express what is going on inside of us? My title today is a title that I want to share with you, and it simply says, "I want to remember your face." Not because, I guess, you're angry or you've done something, but because you are such a blessing to me. But my title is this: "I want to remember your face." I just love number 6, verse 24, verse 26, because it talks about the Lord's face. And we all know this, and we've heard the scripture many, many times in church. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." And so one of the expressions I want to touch on is the expression of love. Unger's Bible Dictionary defines love as selfless and sacrificial. Love is active and dissatisfied if not blessing others. Don't you love that? It is active and dissatisfied if it's not blessing others. You see, folk, love is declared to be the chief test of even our Christian discipleship. In John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, the Word of God says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." It is also part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 onwards says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." You see, folk, love is God's highest attribute. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, we're reminded simply this: "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Folk, God's love is very active, and it is not satisfied if it's not blessing others. You see, love is not simply a quality that God possesses. It is his nature. He is the source of love. God's love is directed to us. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Think of it this way, folk. God didn't send a committee. He didn't write a book. He didn't send a substitute. But God sent his Son. The second expression that people have in their faces often is the expression of hope. The question is simply this: why do some people always abound in hope and others slouch in despair? Hope, folk, I love this definition, is the confident expression of what God has promised. Its strength, hope's strength, is in his faithfulness. I just love the way Paul deals with hope. If anybody had a place or could come to a point of not having hope, it was Paul. Because simply, folk, he was in prison, he was persecuted, kidnapped, beaten, threatened, arrested many times, accused in lawsuits, interrogated, ridiculed. 3 times he was shipwrecked. In fact, he's even bitten by a viper or a snake. And the sad thing that people also ignored him. Yet, this is what he says about hope. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The third one, the expression, is, as I mentioned, is the expression of peace. When faced with the future that no one knows is about to unfold, we know we can stand on God's promises. Reverend Mike Lombard was with you last Sunday, and in his church, he defines the gospel the following way. He says the gospel is the good news that God is the God who keeps his promises. Folk, Jesus is the one who promised us peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6, and I'm sure over December time, over Christmas time, somebody would have quoted this scripture. It simply says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called, isn't this amazing, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Names are very powerful. And I had a friend when I was at junior school, and he had these names. His name was Johannes Cornelius Piet Ees Janse van Grevenstein. And it's interesting that we all called him Janse. So, folk, Jesus is the only one who can bring true peace, restoration, redemption, reconciliation between God and others. They often say that there are 3 types of peace. Peace with God, which is spiritual peace. Peace within, which is emotional peace. And peace with others, which is relational. And I guess that's sometimes the hardest one to deal with. Do you remember the title of my sermon? I Want to Remember Your Face. My title was, I Want to Remember Your Face. And one of the things that I spoke about, how a person's face, you can see them, that they're happy and they've got great joy. And Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 is very interesting, because Nehemiah and the people were going through a tough time rebuilding the wall. And he turns around to them and says, don't be dejected or sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There is a lovely story told about a billionaire who was asked the following question. What do you remember when you were happiest in your life, that also that gave you peace and joy? And his answer was very interesting. He says, 3 of the things that happened to my life brought happiness. The 4th one brought peace and joy. You see, folk, happiness goes up and down. It is vacillates. Happiness depends on happy or a happy stance. All about the hap. This is an old English word. Hap is, simply means chance or fortune or luck. So if chance or fortune or luck falls favorably towards you, you are then happy. Isn't that interesting? Not full of joy, because joy, folk, is consistent. Let me come back to the billionaire. The stages that he mentions. The first 3 stages was simply this. The first one was, he said, I was happy when I accumulated my first million. And the problem is that I wanted more and wasn't enough. My second stage came when I started collecting valuables and items and cars, but I realized that the effect of this accumulation was also just temporary. The 3rd stage of happiness was when I managed to get contracts to supply diesel to Africa and to India. But even here, I didn't get the peace or the joy or the happiness I imagined. And the 4th stage is when a friend of mine asked me to buy 200 wheelchairs for children. I immediately bought them. But, and this is the but, my friend insisted I go with him to hand out the wheelchairs to the children. I had the privilege. I gave them the wheelchairs with my own hands. I saw a very strange glow of happiness in their faces of the children. I saw them having fun. I felt real happiness inside of me and decided to leave. But one of the children grabbed my leg as I was passing him. I leaned over and asked him if there was anything else I could do. And the child's answer that the child gave me changed my outlook to life. It changed my destiny. And it gave me peace. The child simply said this: "I want to remember your face. When I meet you in heaven, I can recognize your face and say thank you to you again." What a powerful statement. That he then, there and then, turned to his friend, and his friend led him to the Lord. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Folk, in closing, let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy of being able to pray for each and every one of us. And Lord, many times our faces are masked of what's going on inside of us, but you see what's going inside of us. I pray, God, that you'll bless each person, that you'll strengthen them, those that are ill, that you'll touch them. Those that are lonely, Father, remind us, Holy Spirit, that you stick closer than a brother. Lord, whatever people might be going through at this stage, I thank you that you've got us in the palm of your hand for 2024. And so I come in back to Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 to 26. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." God bless you, and may you have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen.